If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
On Facebook today, I wrote, the Sun-Times' Neil Steinberg reminds us that Monday was the five-year anniversary of COVID coming to Chicago. A suburban woman had just returned from China. A few days later, she would be diagnosed with COVID-19. And for many of us, our own This Thing Is Real memory would come a little later. In March, my wife Brenda and I went to a gathering of fellow cruisers. Around that time, we had dinner with our son and daughter-in-law. I wonder if that's when we got COVID. Brenda and I were early adopters. I recall the NCAA basketball tournament getting stopped mid-games and our last-minute decision to cancel a trip to California. I was all, Mr. We're gonna go, and then I quickly became Mr. What was I thinking? We're not going. Remember the empty store shelves? I vividly recall, and this to me is when it got real, kind of scary, kind of weird, standing in line at a grocery store waiting to check out with what meager supplies I could grab, and I noticed how haphazardly arranged things were. A fresh chicken was placed on a paper product shelf as though someone rushing through grabbed toilet paper in exchange for the chicken, their arms full, decisions made on the fly. What was that moment for you? And we have so many responses about what life was like 5 years ago today. Neil Steinberg jumps on the phone with us for a minute to recollect that. Hi, Neil. How are you?
Hey, John. I'm well. Yeah, people want to talk about it. That's the reaction I got. It's like they were waiting for permission or something. It really was a traumatic event. And one of the frustrating things about that column was I had to leave so much out. I was thinking of, in the parking lot of Binny's, putting a mask on for the first time and kind of checking myself out in the rearview mirror, feeling like I was going to rob the place. You know, it just was so odd.
Well, I also think that you said people really want to talk about it. And I also think people are happy to have it enough in the rearview mirror. For instance, I did not have this conversation on the 1, 2, or 3, or 4 year anniversary of COVID in Chicago because we were either dealing with it or it was still too soon. But I think now we can look back at that with a measure of, you know, wonder, like, what the hell was that? You know what I mean?
And I keep saying to my wife, I still can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a wave of the hand, like this generalized whole. I'm gay, because the 1 year we were just getting the vaccine then, and there was the thought that you might not die from it. You know, I spent a lot of time in hospitals doing stories, and I remember leaving saying to the wife I'd be late that I was going to the Mount Sinai COVID ICU. And she was like, are you coming back?
Really?
I want you coming back, you know. People were very afraid. I was afraid. Although the scariest part was that scene in the column where I'm sitting absolutely by myself in Kamahachi in Northbrook, you know, the day before Pritzker shut down the restaurants, watching the sushi chef make my lunch, thinking, I'm killing myself for a Negi Hamachi roll. You know, what am I doing here? This is so
stupid. There was nobody, and you were not many people in the restaurant at the time either, were there?
No one. I have a picture of it. It's empty. And like, oh, I'm the stupidest person ever. You know, 'cause there was no rules going on. And I do, you know, anniversary stories are kind of the low-hanging fruit of journalism. But we are at a moment where, you know, you don't know what's happening with bird flu, but you do know that RFK Jr. is up to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And he's not exactly Mr., you know, let's get our vaccines.
Right. But in the name of running him down, and I think for the purposes of Health and Human Service Secretary, he deserves to be run down or thoroughly examined. Yeah. But I will say that today we know that a lot more than we did then, that some of our assumptions were wrong. We did not need to wipe down groceries. We didn't know how it was being spread. So
we were on the fly. That's not an indictment.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. But then to say that some of those early bits of skepticism were misplaced is not entirely true. Maybe it was just luck on people's part.
Forgive me, John, that's a red hair. No one's saying every single one. I mean, it's like with Trump, he was wrong about a lot of COVID, but he certainly got that vaccine coming. So, you know, we're allowed to kind of have a balance, and you know, we don't have to all be fanatics. That's what I'm trying to say.
Here's a message from one of my listeners. My first trip to the grocery store in 3 weeks, I was wearing a mask, seeing the empty shelves, and I actually started crying. Not because I couldn't buy the products, but because it was just so surreal. And I'm getting a lot of those stories, Neil.
We're America. We didn't sign up for us. We're not in Soviet Russia where we're praying for toilet paper. Although we never did run out of toilet paper, did we? That was kind of like a mania. You know, again, there are a lot, you know, the people who were stocking up on that weren't right, but they were human. Like I remember calling, the paper company up in Wisconsin and saying, like, why toilet paper? What do you think's going on with people? Look, you know, we're human beings, and people reacted in a variety of really understandable ways. What worried me in the column is that, the takeaway from this seems to be vaccines are bad and wearing a mask is a deep intrusion on my personal liberty. And that's worrisome for whatever's coming down the pike for us.
I'm going to talk to a doctor in the next half hour, not because of this, but one of the things we've noticed is that the vaccination rates for all diseases for which you can get a vaccine is down for school-aged children to about 94%. Herd immunity starts at about 92 or 93. If we get below that, here comes rubella, mumps, and measles, you know?
Children are going to die, John. So, you know, we can discuss, you know, the what's fair and not, but, you know, you have to have a certain amount of faith. You know, that, look, if you required every child to have a tablespoon of water, a child in 50 million would choke to death on it. Okay, so nothing is completely safe, but vaccines are one of the great scientific advances of all time. And to turn your back on that and kind of pluck whatever discordant fact you can that you think supports you is wrong, and it's a disservice to everyone, I believe.
A lot of people who were at the United Center for the Blackhawks game will remember that, because if I recall correctly, there they were, and they didn't play the game, right? Were people in the stands, and I think they said that they weren't going to play the game. This listener said, we had tickets for the Blackhawks, family coming in from out of town, limo rented. We were not quite sure what was going to happen. Then, bam, the game got canceled. Weird to think back on all of that. And I don't know if it was a different sporting event, but I know there was at least one where everybody's in the stands. It might have been an NBA game, and they said, hi, everybody. The team, the players, the coaches, the refs were there, and then they said, you got to go home now, and it's too dangerous to be here. And that I think plenty of people live through a moment like that.
They're playing in empty arenas, but, I mean, also we have to remember there are people whose parents, whose wives and husbands were dying like unseen, where you couldn't even go in and say goodbye. I mean, that, you know, as bad as the wrecked sporting event is, you know, a million people died in the United States. And that's what sort of blows my mind. You know, we're a country where if a girl falls down a well, like, everything stops till she's rescued. And yet a million people die and we're all like, oh, ho-hum. You know, I don't understand the forgetting part. I think that's really bad.
You know, where
first of all, the people...
Go ahead.
People suffered, and that suffering should be remembered. And if we put this, if we drop COVID down a memory hole, we're setting ourselves up for the next one to come. Because it's not the last illness ever. And I'm really concerned, you know, as we atomize, that we're forgetting what it's like to be a society. And, you know, you can't say America's great and then absent yourself from any sort of sacrifice or involvement with the people who are your fellow Americans.
Yeah, that argument about personal liberties and communal living is still in play. And actually, the pendulum is swinging a little more in the other direction right now.
I hope so. Let's go with personal liberty. Nobody sits around and goes, look, I mean, maybe actually somebody might, look at those suckers storming on June 6, 1944, storming Normandy Beach. Aren't they stupid? They should have just avoided the draft and been safe and home. Okay, so we used to really lionize and admire people who made some sort of sacrifice for their country. And if we were a country that once could bring you into the military and send you overseas to die, I don't see why the country suddenly can't say, okay, wash your hands or whatever. You know, I wipe my groceries down too, and boy, it was stupid, but
yeah,
we
did
didn't
too.
Know back then.
I took my clothes off at the door.
I didn't. I mean, Nurses would do that. You know, I did a lot of medical stories, and they would like shower. You know, they would strip in the garage. You know, and for good reason. But I remember the first time I went to a store, it was like I was underwater or something. I was sort of terrified because it was bright and there were people. I might have been home for a month and a half or something.
We got to end this conversation, but I do want to mention, if for no other reason, just to continue to thank the people who were on the front lines, the doctors, nurses, the techs, the ER workers, the people that were fighting that, and they didn't know what was going to happen to them or you or me either. There was a flashback scene in this silly TV show I've been watching on Max called The Pit. It's about a hospital in Pittsburgh's emergency room. It's like ER. In fact, it has Noah Wiley in it. And there's a scene where they flash back to COVID, and everybody had on those gowns with the masks and the little helmets, and it was positively scary just to look back at that and go, that was the reality for those people. They were living and working in those circumstances.
They were scrambling to get those gowns. They were wearing garbage bags and using coffee filters as masks. I mean, you couldn't even get that kind of stuff, which is, we were so unprepared.
Yeah.
And unless somebody prepares for this sort of thing, we'll be so unprepared again, and then we'll slap ourselves on the forehead and go, gee, we should have thought of that.
Neil Steinberg is thinking about that. He is in the Chicago Sun-Times. You can read his piece there. A lot of folks are commenting there. And on my Facebook page, I'm WGN King John, and I was asking you for your recollections, and there it is, this long and winding road. I'm out of time, Neil, but it was another interesting, smart dispatch on your part.
Always a pleasure, John. I always enjoy talking with you.